Welcome to the Contracting Officer Podcast. It's not just for contracting officers. If you're anywhere in the government acquisition world, this podcast is for you. Today, we're talking about accurate, complete, and current pricing data. This episode is brought to you by Skyway Acquisition. Check it out, skywaymember.com. It's thanks to Skyway and the members of the Skyway community that we're able to bring you this podcast week after week for over 300 episodes. All right, let's get going with accurate, complete, and current. This episode was inspired by a half-day training session that I gave for a customer. The overall topic of the half-day was it was about submitting certified cost or pricing data. But we spent a lot of time in one block focusing on what does accurate, complete, and current mean? And there's a lot to that.
We have a lot of standard training for our members inside the Skyway community, but we also customize it to for our customers when they need it, like the one that you did.
All right, before we dig into accurate, complete, and current, let's stop and say thanks.
Thanks this week goes to Mary Johnson. Mary is a doctoral student at Walden University, which is interesting. But what's really interesting is she's a retired 1102 contract specialist who now lives in Oahu, Hawaii. I want to thank Mary for liking and sharing our podcast content on LinkedIn from across the globe, literally. Because one of the best ways for people to find our podcast is for people like Mary to like and share it on LinkedIn and other places.
Thanks, Mary. All right, back to accurate, complete, and current. We're talking about certified cost or pricing data, and we did a whole episode. Episode 62 was about certified cost or pricing data. We won't get into that certification and all that process now. We're talking about three words within the certification that you have to make. When you submit a proposal that requires certified cost or pricing data, you're agreeing that the government can review everything you use to build the basis for that price, and you are certifying that it is every bit of information there is accurate, complete, and current.
No stress there.
No stress there. The FAR at 15.406-2 actually spells out, this is the wording that you have to use to certify, and it says accurate, complete, and current as of a date, and then you're signing your name to that. The FAR gives you a required format, kind of a top-level format, and this is the pricing format you see everywhere. Direct costs and fringe and overhead, and then your subcontracts and materials, add all that up, and then you have general administrative expenses and fee or profit, and that leads to total price. We've talked about that in other episodes as well. When you're certifying accurate, complete, and current, you're certifying to each of those elements: direct labor, indirect costs, all of your vendors and your subcontractors, and all the other costs that don't fit into those categories, like maybe travel, or packaging and shipping, or royalties that you have to pay for a certain technology or intellectual property that you're using in this solution.
So in other words, every number in your proposal, every nut, every bolt, every little piece, you have to say, yep, it's all correct. And yep, I got every one of them today.
Yeah, if it's in your price, you're certifying to it. So how does this happen? There's often a time gap between when you submit your proposal and when you get done with negotiations and you're ready to sign a contract. And that time gap is where things can change. The basis of some of those numbers can change from when you submit your proposal. So before you certify, you have to revalidate all of those rates, all of your quotes from vendors and subcontractors, every element of price. In GovCon, they often call that a pricing sweep or a sweep. You're sweeping through the proposal to make sure that everything is accurate, complete, and current.
That time gap you're referring to, that's not a gap between when proposals were submitted and the government decides. This is for non-competed work. This is for a negotiation that is happening. And that time gap is between when you submit a proposal, the proposal, and the government is churning through it, right?
Right. In competitions, you don't need to certify because competition gets you to that fair and reasonable thing.
There you go. On the government side, from accurate, complete, and current, there's no FAR definition of those, at least in that phrasing.
Right. That it only shows up in the actual certification that you're doing. It doesn't tell you exactly what they mean.
The contracting officer and the auditor have a lot of latitude. It's easier to explain what isn't accurate, complete, or current rather than what is.
Right, right. Imagine trying to write down exactly, just like writing a statement of work where you're telling them exactly how to do a job. Write the exact rules for what does accurate mean.
All the time, under right. one set of rules. Yeah, that's not exactly easy. So we'll start with a common definition.
All right, first is accurate. Everyone should have in their mind what a definition of what does accurate mean, right? Do all the numbers in your proposal match the supporting documentation? Is there a one-for-one? If you got a vendor quote and it was for $73.14, does your cost buildup show $73.14, not 41 cents, right? Right. Do the numbers match? Did you apply your indirect rates correctly? Did you use the right rates for the right things? Does everything add up? Check your math, right? Does everything in the proposal actually add up to what it's supposed to, or multiply up to what it's supposed to if you're applying indirect rate, right? Accurate is, yes, this actually works from a mathematical standpoint.
And this is one of the reasons, as a contracting officer, I would like you to submit your pricing in a spreadsheet, in an Excel spreadsheet, so I can see the formulas and track it. Otherwise, I got to build the whole thing myself, because I need to know that it's accurate, just like you're claiming it is.
Yeah. Most of the time, it seems they require you to submit all the backup with all the formulas showing so they can track that it's accurate. Second is complete. Complete's another place where there's a pretty easy definition, I think, floating in people's minds of what does complete mean. Is everything required to do the job actually priced in the proposal? Is every vendor quote, if there's a quote submitted, is that quote in the proposal? Accurate is the number, the price correct. Is the quote actually in there? Or if in the technical proposal, you say you're going to do some work, can you find where that work is priced in the price proposal?
Preferably it's nicely tracked or referenced so you can trace those costs and say, oh, this is, subparagraph 4 is covered right here and under asterisk number 4.
Right. Often there's a work breakdown structure, a WBS, that you price it by that. So you can say, hey, here's where we do the testing. And in the cost proposal, you can trace it. This is where that WBS for the testing is priced out. Like I said, complete is somewhat easy to understand. Are all the known factors that impact the cost included in the pricing buildup? So that leads us to the last one. Back to that certificate, accurate, complete, and current as of a certain date. So we've talked accurate and complete. Now we get to the fun part.
And to wrap our heads around why they're in that order, is it right? Is it accurate? Do you have all of it? Is it complete? Now, is it timely? Is it as of a certain date? So that's why they're in that order. You're trying to get the whole picture. I need to know, as a contracting officer, you've got all the data, you've accounted for everything, and you're
It's not old.
Yeah, it's not from last year.
Right, last year. That leads us to, what is current? What does it mean? Everyone's definition, unlike accurate and complete, where I think most people could pretty much agree what those sound like, what those are, current is a little different. What is a current quote or rate, right? Is it something that's, well, I got it within the last 30 days. That's pretty current, right? It's within a month. What if the vendor said this quote is good for 30 days and it's been 31 days? It's not actually current anymore. You could have a quote from another vendor that said this quote is valid for 60 days and that quote is current, right? So current can be different for different elements of the proposal. Gets confusing fast, and that's why the sweep is difficult. If you're going to certify that your cost or pricing data is accurate, complete, and current, you have to do that sweep right before you sign the contract, right? You have to look to see if your vendor quotes are expired. Did you revalidate them? You may have to go out and get them to re-quote. They may just send a letter saying, oh, it's still valid. Or they may say, no, the price has changed. Uh-oh, now you have to update your price. Same with subcontractor proposals. Make sure that the subcontractor proposals are valid. If you know this is going to be a prolonged negotiation with the government, you might want to get subcontractor proposals that are valid for 90 days or more so that they're current for longer. Are you using the most recent direct labor rates, the salaries for your employees? Did we just get past that point in the year where people got an annual merit increase or a cost of living increase that impacts the rates that you use for this proposal?
As a contracting officer, until I got into a rather heated negotiation about, I don't know, 10 years into my career, and I was explained to me all of these steps, I really had no idea. I'd been negotiating a contract and it's end of fiscal year. We need to get this thing awarded. We have a timeline to get this done. And I say, hey, can you just certify this? Did you hear that, my tone? Can you just certify this? Can you just sign off on saying that all this stuff is correct and accurate and complete? That's a big ask, right? This is the process that's going on the industry side. Don't expect your contracting officer to have context on how big a sweep can be, particularly if you've got two subcontractors or 25. It can be a big effort, and it's going to take a little bit longer, and we should schedule for it. And I didn't as well as I should have.
No, I had the same experience, Kevin. Initially, I mean, we were both on major programs when we started with contractors that were well-versed in the sweep, and they were prepared for it and could knock it out pretty quickly, or it seemed like it at the time. And then a little bit later in my career, when I'm doing this without the training wheels, I run into a sweep, and it takes them like 3 weeks to do a sweep. And all the time, the program office is looking at me like, why haven't you signed this contract or this modification yet? I'm waiting for the sweep to get done. I did not know that it could be that difficult until a contractor took the time to explain it to me. Like everything that you have to go back and check every vendor quote, every nut and bolt. Is that quote still valid or has the price changed? And if it has changed, you basically have to reprice your whole proposal with those new inputs and see what your new answer is, right? It's a lot of work. And then when I got to the industry side and I got the fun of doing sweeps myself, then I really understood what it was all about.
Yeah, you really get it.
Yeah. It's important to get this right, because if you certify that your cost or pricing data is accurate, complete, and current, and it turns out it's not, that you missed something, the government can assess penalties against you for what they call a defective certification. So penalties, yeah, that's a bad word.
Big stick. Very small carrot, big stick.
Yeah, let's pause briefly and fix this to the acquisition time zones and the execution time zones. When might you be certifying?
During the acquisition time zones, it's going to be during the RFP zone. Again, this is not a competitive contract. Yeah. The RFP zone is when you submitted your proposal.
You may certify when you submit.
Correct. You may. And then the selection zone, the source selection zone, in this case, you're being selected. You're finishing the negotiations. Now you are certifying that, yes, this is the absolute price and I'm signing off on it.
So at the very end of that process, right before contract award, is when you're going to do this sweep and certify. It could also happen during the execution time zones, during the performance zone, if there's an engineering change proposal or a major change to the contract, you may need to certify.
Even a minor change.
Even a minor change. If it's over a certain dollar amount, you may need to certify and therefore do a sweep and accurate, current, complete for this change.
And if you're not familiar with the time zones, they're in episode number 3 and episode 84.
All right, specifically on the government side, you mentioned a couple reasons why government folks might care. Let's dive into that a little deeper.
This is how you get confidence that the contractors are giving you honest information in the absence of competition.
Right. This is them saying, I promise that this is right, and you can penalize me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I promise so much I'm willing to sign this thing and realize that there's a again, small carrot, big stick, if I mess this up. The downside is it adds time to the negotiation, which we talked about, or the contract mod. And that time is not going to be clear. Well, it's unlikely to be clearly understood by your customer.
Yeah.
Because in their mind, well, where's the contract? Where's my stuff, right?
The customer meaning the program office or the user.
Yes, the government customer who wants whatever the contract is buying.
Yeah.
This also may change the price that you negotiated. I had one where the overhead rates, you mentioned this a minute ago, where the overhead rates changed. And so fortunately, it was just to calculate the spreadsheet and to spit out a new price, but the price went up like, I don't know, $40,000 over 5 years. but it was a change.
Yep.
So they had to go back and recertify. And then, and that took another couple of days with, again, here's the folks banging on my desk. Where's my stuff?
I thought so you said negotiations that were done. You guys agreed to a price. How is this exactly. price different now? Well, yeah, they did a sweep. They turned up some differences. They repriced it. I had to do an analysis to make sure that that repricing was based on the terms that we already just negotiated. Just some of the inputs are different. Then we can sign the contract.
And only then can they certify and we can move on.
Right. Industry folks, this is a very stressful and time-consuming effort to submit accurate, complete and current data. To do that sweep, it takes, you have to have a system. It's a coordinated effort across your technical team, across the contracts team, your subcontracts folks, purchasing, pricing. Now, in a small business doesn't have to certify, but in a smaller, large business, I think we have an episode about mid-size businesses, right? You're technically yep. large, but you don't really have all of the rigor yet that a really large company has. Those smaller companies, there might just be a couple people involved in these. In a large company, you could be talking a dozen people or more involved in doing this sweep. And every one of those people has to report back up, and then somebody has to sign and say, this is all correct. I swear, I certify that this is correct.
If you're a small business, this doesn't apply to you as a prime, but as a sub, you could be feeding up information that goes into this calculation.
Right.
So doing things like giving them a 60 or 90 day or 120 day price quote is going to make their life easier as
right.
opposed to, hey, this is the price today. Well, this sweep's going to suck
yeah.
because I'm going to have to come back to you for updates.
That's a great point, Kevin. If you're a sub and there's a major prime and they're coming back to you and saying, hey, we're doing a sweep. We're doing our sweep. We need to make sure that this price is still valid. The faster you respond, faster the prime can get back to the government and the whole contract gets moving more quickly if you're very responsive to your primes in that case. I didn't even think of that. We talked before about penalties. Just to go back, spend a little more time in the FAR. I don't think we mentioned the FAR enough. We usually mention about 400 times a podcast. FAR 15.407-1 is defective certified cost or pricing data. And this is what we were talking about before. If after that contract is awarded, your certified cost or pricing data is found to be inaccurate, incomplete, or not current, the government is entitled to a price adjustment, including profit and fee, and also interest on any overpayments. And could be penalty amounts on top of that. So this would be uncovered through an audit. If you're in the Department of Defense, the Defense Contract Audit Agency might be involved. If not, it could just be the contracting officer or the department or agency that you're dealing with audit team. But if the contracting officer suspects that something may not be accurate, complete, or current, they do an audit and you could have to pay not only back what was inaccurate, but penalties. Ouch.
If you're wondering where this might be in the contracts you already have, you're looking for clause 52215-10. It's called price reduction for defective certified cost or pricing data. And again, that's the actual stick in your contract. Right. It says, don't do this wrong.
Exactly. Ouch. Yeah. Last thing, we were talking about subs before, Kevin. If your subs have to certify and they submit defective pricing, your prime contract may be adjusted downward as a result of that defective pricing. Even if you didn't have access to all of the inputs, the subs might submit their actual pricing data to the government for the government to evaluate, because they're not going to tell you their indirect rates and the buildups and all those other things that the government's going to look at. But you as a prime could have your contract reduced by a sub that submits defective pricing. So I don't think we need to say again that this is a big deal. All right, Kevin, let's wrap this up by stressing again where this happens in the acquisition process. When would you have to certify and therefore say that all your pricing is accurate, complete, and current?
First condition is this is when something's not competed, because the government needs to have confidence that you legitimately know this price is correct and it's a fair price. The second condition is that it's above a certain dollar level. And currently, it's $2 million. And it's absolute value. There's a whole conversation around that, but get in your head. This is not for a couple hundred thousand. This is for a big action, either a $2 million mod or a $2 million contract where this would apply.
Right. And that threshold is adjusted with inflation. It just recently, as of recording this podcast, jumped up to $2 million. Sometime in the future, it could be a higher threshold, but for now it's $2 million.
Yeah, it was, I think it was 750,000 in the old days, yeah. Like 4 years ago, when we did that last episode. So it could leap again, but yeah, it's a high enough number that it may not apply to everybody, but to those that it does, be aware.
That's a great place to end it. All right. I'll talk to you soon, Kevin.
All right, I'll see you, Paul.
Okay. Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to check out the Skyway community at skywaymember.com. Skyway's team of contracting officers will help you interpret those RFP requirements and the sweep requirements to get to current, accurate, and complete pricing. To learn more, give us a call at 877-884-5280 or, once again, skywaymember.com. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week.